It is the JR Sport Brief Show here with you coast to coast on the Infinity Sports Network. Coming to you live from Atlanta, Georgia. Thank you to everybody for being locked in, listening to the show all over North America. You could be in Montreal, you could be in Toronto, you could be in Vancouver, you could be in San Diego or Miami, you could be in Maine, you could be in Hawaii, Alaska. Thank you for hanging out. This show gets started every weekday, 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 Pacific. You can always listen to the show every minute, every second, every hour on the free Odyssey app. You can tune in on your local Infinity Sports Network affiliate. You got SiriusXM. It's channel 375. You got a smart speaker. Ask it to play the Infinity Sports Network. And we've had a hell of a show. Caught up on all the college football from over the weekend. Getting ready for some NFL action this Thursday night as the Eagles, they celebrate a championship. Maybe, kind of, sort of. It doesn't seem like they're all that interested in it. Dallas Cowboys are going to be in town taking on the Eagles. We talked about Jerry Jones and Michael Parsons, David Mulligetta, his agent, everybody has spoken now that the trade is going through. And how about this? In 20 minutes, we're going to have a chat with Bill Huber. He covers all things Packers for Sports Illustrated. What does Micah mean for the team? Well, I know what he means for the team. Is he going to help them get over the hump? Got some new wide receivers in. What can we expect from Jordan Love? And we'll have that conversation with Bill Huber in 20 minutes. Talked about the Tar Heels, got into Belichick, just talked about Colorado, FSU, and Arch Manning, Ohio State. Yeah, we've discussed a lot. You can be a part of the show too. 888-710-4ISN is the number if you want to call up. That's 888-710-4ISN. You can find me online. I exist at JR Sport Brief. Thank you to our producer in New York City, Ryan Botcher. Thank you to you again for listening. All this college football going on. NFL football getting ready to start. And right before we went to break, I told you about this, disappointing loss. Alabama losing to Florida State, 31-17. Nick Saban wasn't happy. And makes sense. You wouldn't expect them to be happy. I'm just like, damn, they gave up 31 points. They did. Okay. And then I'm going to tell you about somebody else who's not happy. He just won a championship, and I guess he's not happy. Maybe it stopped at the parade. That's Nick Sirianni. Nick Saban has a reason. Nick Sirianni is just, I feel like, manufacturing one. I told you Alabama lost to Florida State. I don't think Kalen DeBoer is long for Alabama. I think they may have another one of these 9-4 seasons in them, especially if the defense is going to look like what they just did against Florida State. Listen to someone with a reason to not be happy. This is what Nick Saban said on College Game Day after losing to Bama, or excuse me, to FSU.
Obviously for me and for a lot of the Bama fans, the disappointment that Florida State dominated the line of scrimmage on both sides of the ball. Yep. But the good news is, you know, every team has the best opportunity to improve from week one to week two. Because really going into the season, you don't really know what you have for sure as a coach. And you're always very anxious about what might happen in the first game. And I'm sure they're all disappointed, players, coaches alike. But they do have a great chance to improve from week one to week two. That's when you usually make the biggest improvement. LSU, Miami, and Ohio State all really impressed me. But I think Texas, Notre Dame, and Clemson all have a really good chance to have great teams this year, too, if they make the progress they're capable of.
Listen, Nick Saban's not dumb. And for years, he talked about rat poison and a team reading the press clippings. Well, the press clippings right now are not good for Alabama. Okay? And so maybe they actually need to read the blogs, the newspapers, whatever the hell else is out there to try to be motivated. Now, Nick Saban also said this is a week-to-week situation. Louisiana Monroe coming up next? Smash them. That's it. That's it. You don't have that first challenging game until the Crimson Tide take on the Georgia Bulldogs, and that's going to be September 27th. So expect some quiet things unless they lose. And any additional loss for Alabama here, I mean, even after losing to Florida State, they're going to have to annihilate teams moving forward. And I just don't think that's the case. And I think at the end of the year, people are going to look at Kalen DeBoer and go, hey, man, we gave you 2 years. Like, where's the improvement from last year to this year? And okay, fine, you got to throw Taj Simpson out there. He had two touchdowns. He had no choice but to go out there and try to throw the rock around. People are going to expect some differences. This is Alabama. And Nick Saban, it's kind of crazy. He's not even the only dude who's like, hey, this stinks. He's not going to pin it on himself. But Johnny Manziel, doing a lot of media sitting around podcasts and whatnot, he said pretty much the obvious, that Alabama is not the same without Nick Saban. We know Johnny.
One thing that I will say that I think in the past, you walk in face an Alabama team, probably got a little fear. This is Bama, the team that's been a dynasty, the team, you got a little fear. That fear aspect of what Alabama is completely gone. And nobody's scared of them boys. Not Vandy, not Kentucky, not nobody. Nobody's walking in and seeing Alabama on the schedule and having any kind of shake, any kind of fear, nothing. They've been getting wiped the last couple of years. You say that buyout's deep, but like, they're not going to sit here and let this stand for sure. They'll go find it in the woods somewhere.
Johnny Manziel's been busy, okay? He was sitting around on the Nightcap show telling everybody how much he hates the Cleveland Browns. His entire Cleveland Browns experience, he hated them. I think they hate him in return. He said he hopes that they go 0-16 every single season. Yeah, I think the feeling is mutual, Johnny. You're not even in the league, but I'm sure that there are plenty of fans out there hoping and wishing that you just lose and whatever the hell you got going on. So there you have it, Johnny Manziel also on Nick Saban. Nick Saban with a reason not to be happy. Somebody, I guess he's not happy either. They're gonna have a banner raised for a championship on Friday, and that's the Philadelphia Eagles. Yeah, the team that just crushed Kansas City in the Super Bowl. The team that has Saquon Barkley just got a new contract. Saquon Barkley named the number one player in the NFL's top 100. Players think he is the best guy. Yeah, the team with Jalen Hurts, they say he doesn't even have to do a lot. The offensive line is so good. They're expected to compete for another Super Bowl. And Nick Sirianni spoke to the media ahead of their game on Thursday with hosting the Dallas Cowboys. Nick Sirianni said, we're hanging a banner? I had no idea. He says, oh, yeah, no, we, the staff, the team, the players, no, we're not going to be on the field when they hoist the banner. We got nothing to do with that. Listen to this.
It's famous that the fans booed the Eagles at halftime because they weren't happy with the way things were going, albeit it was banner night. How do you feel about the fact that even though it is banner night for you guys, the fans will still have the standard of performing and winning at a high level?
Yeah, I didn't know it was banner night. We won't be out for that.
I understand moving on. I understand going to the next thing. They're not even utilizing the word repeat, run it back. Last year was last year. They're not acknowledging it. And I get it fine. You know, they asked Jalen Hurts about his ring, and he's like, oh, I'm not wearing the ring. It's old news. It's old business. And I'm like, man, this is what you try to go out there for. Everybody knows that you're trying to repeat. Are you really pushing a button forward about erasing what happened last year and just moving on? It's like a matter of semantics now. The goal every season is to win a championship. Well, for most teams. The goal for the Eagles is to win a championship. Is it really hurting a veteran squad to just go out there and say, yeah, we want to win again? Look, whatever floats your boat, but it's kind of sucks right now. It's like, we all know you won. You want a repeat. If you win again, it is a repeat. Just acknowledge it. A.J. Brown talked about this as well. Moving forward from last year and forgetting that it happened, what?
You know, I think from the outside, I think the city and everybody has been talking about it, but you know, this building has been locked in. You know, we put that to bed long ago. And like I said, we just ready to go. You know, that's over with. A lot of players didn't even experience that, so you know, that's over with.
Wow. You know, I don't know. Was Quinyon Mitchell such a young guy moving into his second year that he's just gonna go, oh my God, you know, I'm stuck on last year. Is Cooper DeJean gonna just go, oh my God, I'm moving on from my first year and I won a championship as a rookie. You know, I got a taste of it. You know, I don't know. teams are always going to look for a reason to hype themselves up. You know, we talked about TCU earlier in the show knocking off North Carolina. And after the game, they took the approach of, oh, man, we were underrated. Nobody showed us love. You know, we were ignored. This is what Sonny Dykes had to say about being disrespected. And this is just, this is on a college level.
Look, I think we all felt a little disrespected. You know, there was a lot of conversation about this game, and none of it was about us. And so I don't pay much attention to that stuff. And the little amount of attention that I pay, you know, I felt that way, you know, personally. And I think our players certainly felt that way. Did that make any difference? Probably not. You know, our guys started preparing for this game, you know, in January. And so anyway, that was, but I think it gave us a little extra motivation, and certainly, you know, guys were charged up and excited to play.
Look, I don't care if it's college. I don't care if it's the pros. Athletes are going to find whatever they need to do to motivate themselves. And if this is what the Eagles need to do to motivate themselves, then good. Like, if this is the biggest problem that they have, not acknowledging a Super Bowl ring, you know, not thinking about a banner because it was last year, fine, let the fans celebrate it. This is a different team, a lot of the same returning players. This is a different team, a different edition of the squad, and what they did last year, we all know, is done. Them winning a championship and smacking around the Kansas City Chiefs isn't going to win them a title in calendar year 2026. It's not going to make a difference. I just hope that this is done. But if this is their biggest problem, terrific, great. They got one of the best players in the league in Saquon. They got a quarterback that gets ripped to shreds, top 10 this, top 15, who cares where he is. He does his job, he does it efficiently, that being Jalen Hurts. And then Nick Sirianni even caught himself a little bit of a break. I mean, you think about this man who's only been with the Eagles here since 2021, has already had two Super Bowl appearances, won one. There was a point in time where it looked like both he and Jalen Hurts were just going to just be at each other's throats, and one of them was going to have to go. And they end up winning a Super Bowl. Nick Sirianni, for quite some time, just sounded like a guy who didn't know whether he wanted to move his team left or right. He never sounded like a guy who'd go out there and win a press conference. But they won a championship. He's bought him some time with the Philadelphia Eagles in that fan base. And they're going to be competing for a title. Botcher, if this is the most controversial thing with the Eagles, then, man, that's a pretty good deal.
Yeah, I expect fully... Every season, you just have a weird collective of characters on the Eagles, whether it just be in a good way where it's like their offensive line is like the warmest teddy bears ever, or you have a guy reading a book on the sideline in A.J. Brown. They can't avoid drama in Philly, and it seems that this being, we're going to forget about last year, is just the first step of what seems to be a dramatic season for the Eagles.
A dramatic season for what?
Because I feel that you keep bringing it up. Like, if you were really focused on this season, you'd be like, okay, I'm going to talk about the opponent. We're going to get over it. Oh, cool, we have the banner. Great. But the way they word things, like Nick Sirianni, like, oh, we won't be out there, it comes off differently than someone who's just like, okay, we're going to move on to the new season and just try to focus on winning every game.
Well, yeah, Nick Sirianni's never a wordsmith, but they've been very, very, that's not surprising. They've been very intentional about, like I said, not using the word repeat. We're not running anything back. What happened, happened, is old, is old. You know, I guess, and God bless them, the Philadelphia Eagles decided to kind of close the door on last season when they got the Super Bowl rings. And that's it, fine. They've had to show up to training camp. They've had the bust ass. I'm pretty sure they didn't go all that hard given how much football they played last year, and they moved on. So I don't know where there's going to be drama. I don't know. Maybe A.J. Brown pops up with a book somewhere. But I when you win, typically, in most cases, things can be rather quiet. This is good for the Philadelphia Eagles. There's no major concerns where you got to go, oh, my God, what's going on with the injuries? You don't have to wake up and go, oh, is Nick Sirianni and the quarterback, are they going to hate each other's guts? People are loving Howie Roseman, the general manager, the guy who constructed this roster. The roster is probably the best from top to bottom in the entire NFL. Like, if I'm an Eagles fan, I can enjoy what took place in February. I can hope and enjoy just kind of coasting through this season, hopefully with no injuries. And I could say, damn it, can we go out there and run it back? The Eagles don't have to say it. Players don't have to say it, but the fans, they can. I guess it's also a nice distraction away from whenever the Philadelphia 76ers get going. I don't know. Paul George, Joel Embiid, that is just a disaster in and of itself. But that's a conversation for another day. It's the JR Sport Brief Show here with you coast to coast on the Infinity Sports Network. 888-710-4ISN is the number. We are going to utilize that number, and we're going to have a chat on the other side of the break. We're going to be joined by Bill Huber, who covers all things Green Bay Packers. Yes, the Packers, well, they haven't won a championship here with Jordan Love, but they're trying to do that right now with Micah Parsons. We're going to talk about the trade. We're going to talk about Love. We're going to get into Matthew Golden getting ready to make his debut. We're going to talk about these new Green Bay Packers on the other side of the break. They get started on Sunday against the Lions. Bill Huber joining us. You're locked into the JR Sport Brief Show, coast to coast on the Infinity Sports Network.
You're listening to the JR Sport Brief.
It is the JR Sport Brief Show here on the Infinity Sports Network. Man, the NFL season gets started in 2 days. We got a game on Thursday. We got a game on Friday. And, of course, we get the full slate on Sunday. Now, one of the games that a lot of people are going to pay attention to happens to be the Green Bay Packers taking on the Detroit Lions. So, yeah, we get a divisional matchup right away. We also, hopefully, no back issues. We should see the debut of Micah Parsons. Joining us right now to talk about these Packers, what we can expect, the big trade, the big splash, some of the new wide receivers, the healthy ones. Joining us right now is Bill Huber, who covers all things Packers for SI. Bill, how are you?
I'm great. How about you?
I'm excellent. Thank you for the time. You know, getting right to brass tacks. When you heard that Micah Parsons was on his way to the Green Bay Packers, what were your initial thoughts out the gate?
My initial thoughts were I should have started writing this story a half hour earlier. I'm sure it was Thursday and they had practice on Thursday and whatnot. And I got done with my practice stories and I thought I need to write this Micah Parsons story now. I just thought it was going to happen. I was pretty sure of it. So I'd talked to enough people and it seemed like there was enough smoke where there could be fire. It's like I should probably start writing this. So I grabbed my laptop, sat down, boom, there it was. It's like, crap, I should have started a half hour earlier. It's totally out of character for these guys, to your point. But it's the acknowledgement that they're a really good team and they're not a good enough team. They finished third in the NFC North last year. The top three teams in the NFC last year, they went 0-6. They went 1-5 in the NFC North. They're almost like they're going to be stuck in limbo of they had a good roster. They're going to have a good record. They weren't going to win a championship. So therefore, you're picking 20th where you're not getting impact players. And it's kind of like you're a hamster on a wheel. So enter Micah Parsons, who single-handedly fixes the biggest problem on the team, which is the lack of a pass rush. And that'll single-handedly help fix the second biggest weakness on the team was the questionable pass defense. Obviously, the best friend for any cornerback is a good pass rush. So, I mean, this is an acknowledgement this team is really good, and they got a chance to do something big. And they just needed one marquee player to maybe give them that push over the finish line.
Well, Bill, sticking to the defense and how Mike is obviously going to help one of the best players in the NFL – what's the expectation on who steps up now that Kenny is out the building? I mean, in Dallas, I should say.
Yeah, that was actually the second story I wrote on Thursday. Is Micah Parsons fixes one problem, now you got another one. And that's a real thing, right? Green Bay last year finished third in the NFL in yards allowed per rushing attempt. They were really good. You know, even Barkley, well, he busted one late in that playoff game. They even kept Barkley semi-contained. This is a really good run defense. So in free agency, they lost T.J. Slayton. Now you lose Kenny Clark. So your five defensive tackles, and I'm writing this for a story that's going to go tomorrow. Their five defensive tackles, they've started a combined six games in the NFL.
Yeah.
You got a first-round pick, Devontae Wyatt, who was drafted to rush the passer, and he's pretty dang good at it. But he's not drafted to be Kenny Clark 2.0. And Otherwise, it's late round picks and an undrafted guy. So that is a enormous problem, I think, or enormous question, I should say. This is going to be really hard to rush the passer if it's 3rd-and-2 all game long.
Bill Huber is here with us, covers Packers, all things Green Bay Packers for Sports Illustrated. When you look ahead to some of the moves this offseason, I just found it hilarious. Josh Jacobs pretty much said at the end of the season, we need a number one wideout. Having a bunch of number twos is not good enough. And then they go ahead and they draft Matthew Golden. We know about the issues or injuries, I should say, about to Christian Watson. He's on PUP. How's things been looking for Matthew Golden? And what's the expectation for Christian Watson return? You hear positive things. What's the reality with the wideouts?
Yeah, so I'll start with the Watson part first. PUP means for 4 weeks he can't practice. I would think after that 4 weeks, he's going to be pretty close, if not completely ready to go. He has made really impressive progress. I mean, he's been running up and down the sideline during training camp like no one's business. So so I think he thinks he will be ready. And I think the Packers might think he'll be ready. Then you have the question of he's going to be a free agent next year. So therefore, will his agent think he's ready? I mean, and that's a real thing, right? I mean, he's playing for his next contract and you don't want to screw up something. So I get that. As far as Golden, you hate to put too much on a rookie, but he was just really good. I mean, the Packers listed him as a starter on their unofficial depth chart, which is a nod to what he did all through training camp. You know, everybody knows that he's like super fast. I think everybody in Green Bay knows the 4.29 in the 40 by heart by now. But it's not just that, man. He is just, he was open all summer. And part of it is because he's fast, probably, and the DBs had to back off a little bit, not get beat deep. But he's fast, so people back off. He runs really good routes. Picked up the offense quickly, and he's got great hands. I mean, I've said this a few times. He dropped one pass. If you count the 5 offseason practices that we saw and all of training camp and all of preseason, he dropped one pass. So you hate to say that he's going to be the number one guy and this and that, but he'll be an instant impact player. I would be surprised if by the end of the season, he's not their number one target. Maybe not number one receiver by the definition, but their number one guy they throw the ball to.
Well, Josh Jacobs was certainly vocal in saying we need that type of guy here with the Green Bay Packers. Somebody I know who's going to love being able to get the ball to him is Jordan Love. How do fans in Green Bay feel about Jordan? Of course, he got injured to start last season, that first game that we saw down in Brazil. He's now making one of these gigantic contracts at 55. There's some expectations that he's like a top 5 QB in the league for what he's getting paid, no?
Yeah, darn straight there is. I think the fans got this one right on the head. Sometimes fans think good players stink and mediocre players are great, and the guy on the bench is going to be the best player ever. But there's a lot of wait and see on him, and I totally get it. And I get that he was injured. It took away his mobility. Heck, it took away his ability to practice for a while. So those are real things, and Packer fans will tell you they dropped a lot of passes, and that's also true. He also threw a lot of interceptions again, and maybe just because I watched Aaron Rodgers for so many years, and he never threw interceptions. But
that's right.
To me, you get the ball 11 times in a game. Maybe you get it 12. You just can't give the ball away once or twice. I just think you that's losing football. He's got to get over that. There were too many plays last year where he's under pressure, and he just kind of chucks one up there. And again, maybe that's because he was hurt and he was confined to pocket, and he'll get over that. But I would say the jury's out. The Packers say he's going to be the guy they paid for. I'm dubious about it, but I just want to see him complete more passes and complete fewer passes to the other team. But
well, Billy,
he was having a good camp before he got hurt with the thumb.
Bill, are you saying that Jordan may not be the guy for the Green Bay Packers?
I mean, they paid the guy. He's their guy. What are they going to do? They've already paid him. Look, he's good enough to win with, for sure. I mean, there's no question about that. They're going to win a bunch of games with him. I just come at it from the vantage point of you're trying to win a Super Bowl, and that's where I don't know. I don't know that he's a guy who's going to win a Super Bowl. I'm not saying he's not going to be. I just don't know because he threw a lot of interceptions in 2023, and he threw the same number in 2024 while throwing like 150 fewer passes. So there was some definite regression there. Again, is it just because he couldn't move? I don't know. So I just wonder if he is the guy to win a Super Bowl. I think we'll find out the answer to that probably by midseason. I think he would have a really good feel for things.
Bill Huber is joining us here on the JR Sport Brief Show. He covers the Packers for SI. When you talk about this division, obviously J.J. McCarthy's a younger guy moving into his second year, his first full year of playing. You got Chicago with Ben Johnson. We see that this team, the Packers, they open up against Detroit on Sunday. How do they fit in with the division? Obviously, there's a full expectation that they go to the playoffs. Is it as the division winners? Is it as a wild card? What do you envision for this team this year?
Yeah, I think the Parson trade just absolutely changes everything. Look, like I mentioned before, they went 1-5 in the division last year. And their one win was a blocked field goal at Chicago in the last play of the game. So they were perilously close to taking the golden sombrero there. And, you know, Chicago's going to be better. Minnesota was really good, and McCarthy, we'll see. I kind of thought before the trade that Green Bay was probably closer to last place than first.
Wow.
Just because Chicago's on the rise and Detroit's really good. I just think, yeah. You know, if Detroit wins 15 games and Chicago gets up to 8, Green Bay might be at 10, which mathematically tells you that you're closer to last place. I just think the Parsons trade just changes everything. He's the guy on any given play can win you a game. It doesn't have to be the fourth quarter, but maybe it's a sack strip in the second quarter and you turn a 7-point lead into 14. Now you just go into attack mode. We've all seen the guy. We all overuse the word great so much, but he is a great player, and they're going to win at least a couple more games because of him, and they got a real chance to win the division and make some noise come January.
Yeah, they got themselves a game wrecker. Along the way, you talked about the youth and the inexperience on the defensive front. Are there any other areas of concern when you look at the team overall moving forward?
Yeah, the secondary, again, Parsons is going to help you out, but, you know, like on Sunday against Detroit, you know, St. Brown gets open so quick. Can they take him away enough for the pass rush to get home? You know, their corners right now are Keyshawn Nixon and Nate Hobbs, a couple guys who the Raiders didn't want. Mm-hmm. Nixon's turned into a pretty dang good player. We'll find out about Hobbs. Javon Buller is going to be in a slot. I mean, I don't think anybody can look at him right now and say that they have a stopper to go up against St. Brown in week one. And week two, it's Terry McLaurin and who's Cleveland's guy? Cleveland's got a guy. You got T. Higgins and Jamar Chase. You've got C.D. Lamb. I mean, these are just the early season games. It is just a gauntlet of quarterbacks and receivers. And on paper, you look at it and say, I don't know how they can stop those guys. If it's 3rd and 6 in the fourth quarter, can they stop? And they stopped Jamar Chase. And they stopped St. Brown. You know, again, this is where the Parsons trade is a big deal. But just on paper and name recognition and, you know, skins on the wall, as the special teams coordinator Rich Versace likes to say, it doesn't look like they have the answers. We'll find out. That's why they play the games, as they say.
That's why they go out there and play the games. Well, we're going to find out soon enough. These Green Bay Packers, they open up their season on Sunday against the Detroit Lions. Certainly, I think we're going to see quite a few shootouts, you know, knowing what we got now with these Packers. Hey, Bill, I appreciate the time. Tell everybody where they can find your work with SI.
Just type, I don't know, just Google Packers on SI and I'll show up. Lots of stuff up there today.
Yeah, well, listen, you got a lot of they got you busy right before the season with this whole Michael Parsons trade, so let's see what happens. I know it's going to be real interesting in week 4 when they take on the Cowboys, so yeah, I know you'll have a lot to write, Bill.
Yeah, Micah Parsons will single-handedly write that story for me.
Yeah, without a doubt. Let's see what he does in that game. Hey, Bill, thank you. We'll catch you down the line, okay?
All right, take care. Appreciate it.
No doubt about it. Thank you so much to Bill Huber for joining us. Covers all things Green Bay Packers for Sports Illustrated. Man, obviously, I'm not sitting around writing anything, but I'll tell you this much. And everybody's looking forward to that game. And no disrespect to, you know, what they're getting ready to do against the Detroit Lions on Sunday. But the game that people want to see is Micah Parsons and his return to Dallas. He'll probably go out there and wreck Dak, okay? It's the JR Sport Brief Show here with you coast to coast on the Infinity Sports Network. 888-710-4ISN. That's 888-710-4ISN. for ISN. Amongst all this quarterback talk, you know, what's Jordan Love going to do with the Packers? How bad is Michael Parsons going to go up there and tear up, you know, Dak Prescott? In New York, we know Russell Wilson is the starter for the New York Giants. But how things look with the rest of that depth chart, it's a little confusing right now. It looks like Jackson Dart might be in front of Jameis Winston. What? We're going to get into this on the other side of the break. The phone line's open if you want to give a call. 888-710-4ISN. It's the JR Sport Brief Show on the Infinity Sports Network. And right now it's time for a news flash with Rich Ackerman.
You're listening to the JR Sport Brief.
It's the JR Sport Brief Show here with you coast to coast on the Infinity Sports Network. Hey, thank you so much to our last guest. Bill Huber came on and joined us for a conversation about the Green Bay Packers. Yeah, the newest team that has Micah Parsons. He thinks that they should be competitive going into the playoffs and kind of riding things from there. Has some concerns about the experience on the defensive line, despite having Gary and now also adding Michael Parsons. If you missed that conversation with Bill, you can hit rewind on the free Odyssey app. The phone lines are open if you want to give me a call. 888-710-4ISN. That's 888-710-4ISN. I want to talk to you about the New York Giants and their quarterback situation. Their rookie quarterback, Jackson Dart, apparently got a little bit of a promotion, a big promotion with the New York Giants. We'll get into that in a second. Right now, I want to tell you about the Defensive Player of the Week. It's brought to you by the Navy Federal Credit Union. Our members are the mission, and the Defensive Player of the Week is TCU's Bud Clark. Yeah, Bill Belichick, North Carolina, they got smashed last night at this time. 48-14, okay? The safety, he picked off Gio Lopez, took it 25 yards to the house for a pick six. It got them up to 17-7, and at that point, TCU, they just kept on a rolling. A matter of fact, you don't just have to listen to me tell you about it. Take a listen to this. TCU's Bud Clark, pick six on Gio Lopez. This is courtesy of Brian Estridge via Learfield.
Lopez throws left. It is picked off at the 20, to the 10, to the 5. Touchdown, Bud Clark. Career interception number 12 for Clark. Comes up with a pick there. Read it perfectly. Baited him into it. And a score here for Bud. And the Horned Frogs go up 16-7.
Yeah, he certainly had no issue there after the game, also talking about Bill Belichick's girlfriend. He said, hey, he may have to call his girlfriend to help him get over the loss. Yeah, it's tough. Hey, you put your girlfriend out there, Bill Belichick. Be prepared to hear from it, even from the students. 888-710-4ISN is the number. That's 888-710-4ISN. David is calling from L.A. You're on the JR Sport Brief Show. David, what's up?
Hey, JR. Always great to talk to you. So I wanted to follow up with what you said earlier about the Eagles. And, you know, as a fan of the Eagles, I think I have an idea why they're approaching the season the way they are right now. Recall back to 2018. You know, I can say now with confidence, looking back in hindsight, in 2018, that Eagles team that just came off a Super Bowl victory, they celebrated for a little too long. And this was basically permeated throughout the entire team. You know, Howie Roseman re-signed a bunch of guys he should have been looking to move on from. Doug Peterson had famously hung that Super Bowl champions banner in the locker room and was told by his players to take it down because they were moving on faster than the head coach. And then during the season, some of their celebrations were emulating that of 2017. And, of course, that 2018 team was nowhere near as good as that 2017 team. So, you know, there are a couple of holdovers from that 2018 team now with Lane Johnson and Jake Elliott still on the team. And I'm pretty sure that they have informed the team that, you know, there is no such thing as carrying over one season to the next because every season is new. I mean, Lane Johnson was the one who back in 2018 let slip.
Yeah, he's been playing forever. We know Brandon Graham, he retired and called it quits afterwards. He'd probably be the guy who's there the longest. I don't think that matters because, like, you just told me about two players who were still around, but everybody else is brand new. You know, I made a joke about Cooper DeJean and also Quinyon Mitchell, these dudes are into their second year. Like, they didn't know what the hell they were doing. They're trying to figure out school, if that, in high school in 2018. So I don't know if that's the case. Nick Sirianni has always come across as a little bit different of a duck, trying to stand out, trying to do things different. I'm sure that that's the case, but I think if we had more of a connection, I'd say that'd be true. I don't know about that. These are grown guys. They have experience. They just won a championship. And we kind of hear this thing every season. And thank you, David, for calling from L.A. Like, we hear this all the time when it comes to teams. I don't care who's winning. Hey, last year is last year. Now we have to win. This is a different year. We've heard that from Kansas City. We heard that from the New England Patriots. We would hear that from basketball team squads like the Golden State Warriors. But it seems that these Philadelphia Eagles are taking it a step further just to go, last year is last year. We don't even think about it. It doesn't exist. It's done. I don't know. Maybe all of these guys have to go out there and retire before they appreciate what they did. I mean, damn it, you talk to Jalen Hurts, you would think that they lost the Super Bowl last year. And I appreciated Jalen Hurts. And you know what? I actually think it's an admirable quality. Like, you got to know how to lose. You got to know how to win. You know, when he lost that Super Bowl a couple of years ago in Arizona against Kansas City, I appreciated the fact that he sat there in the press conference knowing that he just came off the loss. He didn't hide. He didn't run. He didn't complain. He didn't whine. He showed up and he answered every question. He didn't do it in no jerk fashion, and he kept it moving. And now that he's won a Super Bowl, I can respect the fact of him going, hey, what took place, it's done, it's time to move on. I think if you're going to be consistent, I think that's a quality that you need as a quarterback. You can't get too high on the highs, you can't get too low on the lows, and I know there could be a lot of jokes about it. I think Nick Sirianni, from his perspective, seems a little too far. But I think from a player's perspective, especially the QB, you got to know when to call it done. Okay? As simple as that. Mariano Rivera, greatest reliever ever. Greatest closer ever in Major League Baseball. Hey, how are you so great, Mariano? When a game is done, it's done. What took place yesterday is done. I can't go back in time and change any of it. And I think for a quarterback, that's also a good thing. So let's see what the Eagles do. And like I said, if this is going to be the biggest controversy, especially to start the season, then so be it. There's a lot of other NFL teams that wish they had the problem of, how do we come back after we, won a Super Bowl? How do we keep things moving? 888-710-4ISN is the number. That's 888-710-4ISN. Speaking of a team, they wish they had this problem. It's the New York Giants. Okay, we got a little bit of a surprise today. Jackson Dart is number 2 on the depth chart for the New York Giants. He is ahead of Jameis Winston. And you think about the offseason, it's like Brian Daboll tried to throw everything at him. Hey, start this game. Come in the second quarter. Come in the third quarter. Do this. Do that. And he apparently has aced it all with flying colors. In preseason, Jackson Dart, 68% of his passes completed, 32 of 47, 372 yards, 3 touchdowns, and no interceptions. And so we know Tommy DeVito was cut, okay, picked up by the New England Patriots, and now Jameis Winston is quarterback number 3. Brian Daboll isn't one of these head coaches who gives you everything, but yesterday he was asked about quarterback 2 and who's number 2 behind Russell Wilson. This is what Brian Daboll said yesterday.
Yeah, any roster decisions based on, you know, who's going to be the backup or who this player's going to, like, we'll have that out there on Sunday.
Oh yeah. Well, they're going to take on the Washington Commanders. And I don't know if people can, it's slightly surprising, but not so much. You think about this. The New York Giants got him with the 25th pick. They had to trade up to go back into the first round to get him after they got Abdul Carter at the top of the draft. And so they're heavily invested in Jackson Dart. Is he going to get the call right away if Russell Wilson goes down? It appears that very well might be the fact. And also for Jameis Winston, I don't know if there's a more equipped player to be demoted, to be a guy who's been a starter in the league, and you've been the star quarterback, and now you're the two, and now you're the three. You're behind the rookie. And it's going to be tough, I believe. They're going to keep Jameis the entire season. It's just wild how fast the quarterbacks, they can change, their positions can change. Because if Russell goes down, don't you still want a veteran? Don't you still want to keep Jameis on the roster? Is Jameis going to be trade bait for some other team? I don't know. I would say if any quarterback goes down, here in Atlanta with Kirk Cousins, he'd probably be the most desirable option for anybody. And then maybe Jameis. It's the JR Sport Brief Show here with you coast to coast on the Infinity Sports Network. 888-710-4ISN. That's 888-710-4ISN. We're going to roll into the last hour of the show in a few minutes. You're locked in to the JR Sport Brief Show on the Infinity Sports Network.